It's a shame you just can't contract laryngitis by licking some kind of like laryngitis dumpster or something.
Can't find some sort of mono and just make out with them.
That's the kissing disease, they say. That's how you could tell who the sluts were in high school, because they got mono.
Did I tell you about time in college I skipped 2 weeks of class and then I emailed all my professors and told them I had mono? And like the day before I was going to go back to school, I got really
You
sick.
got mono.
So it worked awesome because I
Yeah.
just showed up and I could barely talk. I'm coughing. I had like a runny nose and it was like, this worked out perfectly.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. You don't want to see this bucket list. You do want to see and listen to my co-host, Mr. Dave Basella.
Chalk another fall preview of Movies On Up off my bucket list.
That's Mr. Dave.
The goal was six.
The goal was six. So we got one more?
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yep.
Then no more Movies On Up or no more
Swallow
fall
the
previews.
pills. Say goodnight.
Wow, that is a rosy way to begin the episode. You don't want to see this bucket list is our typically rosy way to try and give you a prize if you think you know what movie that comes from. And here's a hint. We're going to discuss it at some point this episode.
It's one of the 300 movies we will talk about.
So if you just want to send 300 emails with individual movies each, you're guaranteed to win our prize package this year, and you can scratch that off your bucket list if you can tell us what movie you don't want to see this bucket list comes from. You can send your guess in one of the three following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or you could tweet your guess to us via the Twitter @moviesonup if you are correct. And if we choose you, you will get a bucket full of Movies On Up prizes from us. A prize that we give every year, and you don't have to do anything except listen, is our fall preview. And that is what we are doing this week. It is about that time of the year. It's like our last episode before October, because we take like October and we just do monkey business, horror movie monkey business, because it's what we both love. But we like to at least try and set the table before we take a month and go on a bender with some actual movies that are going to be out this year, some movies that you may or may not be interested in, all of them, but some of these are going to be your awards movies. Some of them you may never hear of again.
We'll talk about that. It feels like a weird fall. I feel like you usually have a dozen movies where it's like, oh, these are the ones you're going to see a lot around the Oscars. Like,
right.
This one's probably going to be actor. This one's going to be director, writer. It's wide open this year.
I think some of that's starting to come out of the festival circuit now. I feel like Telluride has basically told me a lot of movies that are going to be nominated for at least actor and actress, maybe even director going forward. But yeah, you're right. It's not like there's the, oh, Matthew McConaughey is going to play a guy with AIDS.
Jared Leto is going to win an Oscar, which I called from the trailer.
Yeah.
Before we dive into it,
sure.
Like, I feel like we are getting to a point where it doesn't matter as much. You had Mad Max a couple of years ago get a lot of Oscar run from releasing early in the summer. Your summer blockbuster isn't just May through August now. Like, now it's February, it's March, it's November. You're seeing blockbusters come out in November. So I think a lot of that is shifting. And with as bad as this summer was, I'm thinking you're going to see a lot of these movies start to kind of work their way earlier so that we're not just looking at, here's the movies that release, you know, October, November, December. These are your Oscar movies. I think we're going to get to a point where you're going to get more from the rest of the year. And like this year, I think, is the year that it could start. I feel like there'll be a push for Get Out for some stuff, whether writing, directing, whatever.
Right.
Wonder Woman, stuff like Baby Driver, something smaller like The Big Sick. All these movies from earlier in the year that I think...
Or even Dunkirk, which is a movie you
Dunkirk
can see
is one
in
that I
November,
meant,
but that's...
Yeah, Dunkirk is one I meant to mention. I feel like you're going to see a lot of run because I don't feel like there's a lot of heavy hitters this fall. So I think that opens the door for all of these movies that made their impact already to just say like, hey, remember us? And I think that opens it up for years now to where it's not all limited to a 2 or 3 month span to where it's just the Oscars are year round, which they're technically are, they're supposed to be, but they're not.
Right. I think that's kind of award season the season the award movies come out, I think is the last really bastion of, okay, these movies only come out at this certain time. You mentioned the box office season has basically gone away. Horror movies in general, we do get a couple in
October
this year.
Now they're
right.
October.
January, February. Yeah. Right, exactly. So,
and one in the middle of the summer usually.
Yes. It's made for $6 and ends up getting 9 sequels. But those Oscar movies are kind of the last ones to hang on to that end of the year release window, just so people are thinking about them right as they're casting their ballots. But we'll start at the end of September, the week we're in right now, and take you through the end of the year. And we will start in America with Doug Liman's America Made, starring Tom Cruise, who had a hell of a year, Donald Gleason, and Sarah Wright. Cruise plays a drug smuggling TWA pilot turned DEA informant in Liman's follow-up to The Wall from earlier this year, which I thought was a great movie, great small movie with Kick-Ass and John Cena that no one saw.
Tom Cruise gets so much crap up until The Mummy. The dude is solid for the last 30 years. Is box office gold, essentially. He doesn't really have bombs that are Tom Cruise movies. Until, like, The Mummy, maybe.
He'll make some crap, because that happens. If you work for 30 years, you're not going to hit a home run every time.
This one looks interesting. Him and Liman work well together. So.
Yes, they do, time after time.
And this isn't action star Tom Cruise, so it's him going back to something less action-y.
Right, but him and Liman should certainly move the needle. Also that week is Niels Arden Opelev's Flatliners, starring Ellen Page, Diego Luna, Nina Dobrev, and perhaps, spoiler alert, Kiefer Sutherland. Sutherland returns as Nelson in this reboot slash sequel from Opelev, who directed The Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, but the good one.
This one makes me mad because this cast is great.
Sure.
Like, Ellen Page, Diego Luna, Nina Dobrev, like, this cast is great.
Kirstie Clemens.
Yeah, it's a great young hip class like the original Flatliners, a great hip director. I feel like this is doing everything Point Break should have, that remake, where you have a good cast, you have a good director, but it just falls flat to me. Like, I just don't have
no pun intended,
and I love Flatliners. It's one of those that on paper it looks great, but I don't need it.
I almost feel like bringing Sutherland back in so it's not just a reboot, so okay, we're not pissing people off that really like the original,
which I don't like. Just do it, just reboot it.
Right, I mean, it's,
we'll call it Flatliners 2. The thing was a remake. Call it a prequel all you want, it was a goddamn remake. This is a remake. I don't care what, it's a fucking remake. It's called Flatliners. You know, you didn't have Gremlins and then Gremlins. No, you had Gremlins and Gremlins 2. It doesn't work like that. Total Recall was a remake. It wasn't a sequel. You don't call the sequel the same name as the first movie. Does not work like that.
Right, at least you put an S on it. You don't call Alien, Alien. Put an S. So we know it's the sequel. That's what S stands for. Also that week is Christopher Stokes' Till Death Do Us Part, starring Annie Lonze, Stephen Bishop, and Taye Diggs. It's a love triangle thriller from the director of such love triangle thrillers like House Party 4 and You Got Served. House Party 4, of course,
did not have Kitten Play. It was the weakest of the House Party franchise. You Got Served, not bad.
But it's also, they didn't just call it House Party and try and like not have Kitten Play in there and piss you off.
Yeah. I forget what 4 was. I think it might have just been House Party 4, not like House Party 2 Pajama Jam.
Oh, no, there was like a To the Last Minute or something.
I don't know.
What was the Justin Bieber movie called? Was that All or Nothing?
I think.
Something to that effect. Speaking of the Biebs, our limited releases that week, the first one directed by, I mean, maybe his uncle, Rick Bieber, and it's Don't Sleep, starring Cary Elwes, Dominic Sherwood, and Charlie B. Dean Crick. Sherwood finds out.
Never
say never. All right, that makes more sense, I guess. Sherwood finds out that he's had a less than ideal childhood, and that terrible past apparently resurfaces and tries to kill him and his girlfriend as they move into a guest house. I like Cary Elwes, but I'm not that interested in seeing this movie.
Yeah.
Perhaps one that we are a bit more interested in. This has been a decent year for smaller romantic comedies, I guess you would say, with Big Sick getting a lot of love. Maybe this would be just a peg or two below that, quite literally. And it comes from Ryan Eggold. It's literally right before Aaron, starring Justin Long, Colby Smulders, and Ryan Hansen. Eggold makes his directorial debut writing and directing an adaptation of his 2011 short film of the same name, which sees Justin Long attend his ex-girlfriend's wedding.
I like Colby Smulders. I want to see her in more movies. I like Ryan Hansen. He's great in smaller parts where he just shows up, steals the scene, and leaves.
Yep.
Not a Justin Long fan, but
I think he's a good, like, everyman.
He's competent. You know? Like, he's not, I don't hate Justin Long. I just,
he's a dude.
He's not packing my butt in the seat.
In the world. I guess that movie would be fortunate to get you in the theaters to see. Also in limited release that week is John Carroll Lynch's Lucky, starring Harry Dean Stanton, David Lynch, and Ron Livingston. Stanton plays the titular Lucky, an old loner searching for enlightenment. Aren't we all?
I like when actors that I like direct something and don't put themselves as a star. I like John Carroll Lynch. Like, I think he's really, really good, and he has this intensity on screen. So I'm interested to see him transfer that behind the camera.
A very intense fella with a certain set of skills is Liam Neeson. He stars in Peter Lanzmann's Mark Fell, the man who brought down the White House. He's also featured alongside Diane Lane and pod favorite, at least Dave's pod favorite, Makeham Monroe. Neeson stars as Felt, better known as Deep Throat in the Watergate investigation, which, for those of our history challenged listeners, is certainly a once-in-a-lifetime scandal that brought down a morally bankrupt president, which we are unlikely to ever see its like again.
This movie is the perfect embodiment of what Oscar season has become. Actor playing a real person. You see a dozen of them every year. And they all come out at this time.
And some of them are very good.
Some of them are good. Most of them fall flat. But, like, there's a lot of biopics that we're going to talk
about.
Tom
Cruise is playing a real guy. That
yeah, but I mean...
TWA pilot was
yeah,
really.
But I...
Not an Oscar
I'm not
movie.
Talking, right. Like, true story stuff. I'm talking, like, playing people that we know in stories that we know. Like, biopics, essentially.
You're right. I don't think that our next movie is a biopic, but it does have a fascinating cast. It is Kevin Otto's A Question of Faith, starring Richard T. Jones, and then the fascinating part, Kim Fields and C. Thomas Howell. If you are a fan of the 80s, boy, are you in luck here. Ponyboy and Tootie star in a faith movie.
We're seeing a lot more of these type of movies, these faith-based ones.
Absolutely.
And it seems like September, October, we always get one thrown out right there.
You want to talk about why the general movie audience is so down this year? A proliferation of stuff like that is dark times at the box office. Super dark times will also be in limited release that week, directed by Kevin Phillips, starring Owen Campbell and Charlie Turan. Campbell and Turan star as teens with a gruesome secret, and that secret is not that they have the hots for the same girl. Apparently, that's less of a secret. They may or may not have killed someone. I don't know. I don't want to read too much of the plot in case I happen to find myself watching Super Dark Times. I didn't want it ruined for me.
This is the kind of movie that comes
could
off
be cool.
The poster's very cool.
Yes, it is.
It's the kind of movie where, like, I like these kind of movies. These kind of smaller movies about a crime and the aftermath of it. So, like, this is one of those that could either fall flat, or it could be, like, one of those that I catch in, like, December right before I make my list and think, like,
I'm going to sneak this on.
Yeah, it might sneak on there because I feel like it went overlooked. And
one that will not be overlooked but might sneak on is leading off October, and it is Denis Villeneuve, Blade Runner 2049, starring Ryan Gosling, Harrison Ford, and Ana de Armas. Ford dusts off his lightsaber umbrella for the sequel to 1982's Blade Runner. It's the second of the Ridley Scott universe updates from this year, and let's hope this one's better than the first.
We talked about in the Kingsman episode how Matthew Vaughn, like, I love everything he does, but I wasn't super sold on Kingsman. Time with Denis Villeneuve. Dude is on a tear. He's been making awesome movies. I don't care about Blade Runner. I don't like
it. We might be the two dudes that have a movie podcast that are not all about Blade Runner. I like film noir, and I don't particularly
That's
like
the
Blade
thing.
Runner.
I like sci-fi. I don't particularly like Blade Runner.
But I'll see this.
I'll see it eventually. I'm not rushing out on October 6th.
Not even to use your movie pass?
Maybe. If my card comes by then.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you and me both. We have a well-listened-to movie podcast. You think that those MoviePass folks would get it to us quickly. A movie that I know you will be running out to see is Hani Abdu Assad's The Mountain Between Us, starring Idris Elba and Kate Winslet. Winslet lives out Dave's fantasy of being stranded on a mountaintop with Idris Elba, based on the 2011 Charles Martin novel of the same name.
This one of those, the plot doesn't interest me at all, but Idris Elba is one of those I will watch do anything. Him, Chiwetel, like Chadwick Boseman's getting there, like Fassbender, like there's these actors that I will watch anything they do. And then Winslet's awesome too. So, I mean, Elba and Winslet in a movie that seems like it's going to be mostly those two going back and forth.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Even if you were into our next movie, I would strongly caution you to not admit to it, lest we have to end this episode very early. It is Jason Theisen's My Little Pony, starring Emily Blunt, Kristen Chenoweth, and Michael Pena, the fella that has been bringing you My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, the television program, now brings that magic to the big screen and all his cast members from that show. And because that in itself wouldn't be enough to get the brony audience, he added in some celebrities too.
My kids love horses. They don't even care about this show. I don't get the brony thing. And like, I'm pretty open-minded. Like, furry thing, I can get behind that. I've seen Zootopia. But like, My Little Pony, I can't get behind it.
Because they're not bunnies.
Sexy, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, or that.
Oh, not good. Which could also be probably used to describe our leadoff hitter in the limited release. It is Skrillant Chepaw's Bad Grandmas, starring Pam Grier, Florence Henderson, and Judge Reinhold. That's not a joke. Those three individuals are starring in a movie together. And if you've been waiting 40
years... In 2017.
Years, exactly. You've been waiting 40 years for the Foxy Brown-Carol Brady crossover with Judge Reinhold. Hey, man, it's finally here.
It's three old ladies kill a con man is the whole plot.
And his partner shows up.
If you look at the poster, it looks like a fake movie. Like, it looks like a movie about Carol Brady or Pam Grier as they're retiring, looking back on movies they've made. Like, it looks like an Adam Sandler
Funny
People movie.
Boy, I shouldn't have
made
that one.
Yeah, it looks like something that debuts on Lifetime this Saturday at 9.
It's in limited release. Maybe that's what they mean.
Lifetime.
Now, if I could maybe set the bar real low for that one, I actually have pretty high expectations for Sean Baker's The Florida Project, starring Willem Dafoe, Brooklyn Kimberly Prince, and Bria Vitton. The writer-director behind 2015's critically acclaimed Tangerine looks like he's back with another hit about a six-year-old and her mother living in a transient hotel just outside of Kissimmee, Florida.
Willem Dafoe. Yeah. In a transient hotel has me. I think this is an A24 movie.
Yes.
Where they're a studio now that it's like, I rarely will fall in love with a studio where it's like, oh, if a studio puts it out, I'll see it. I feel like the old days where it's like, oh, I've never heard of this band, but Vagrant signed them. So yes, I'll check them out. A24 has kind of reached that level to where, yeah, all right, if they're putting it out, I'm into it.
And Baker makes really good character-driven stories. So I think that this one's going to be pretty good as well. Also out that week is Spencer T. Fulmar's Generational Sins, starring Danny McPherson, Dax Spinoggle, and Barrett Donner. At the behest of their dying mother, McPherson and Spinoggle take a trip to their childhood home. They play brothers.
It's one of those going home, dead mom movies.
Oh, yeah, those are a dime a dozen. So, see it, don't see it, so be it. That is also the name of our next movie.
Yeah,
these episodes are back. So Be It, directed by Stephen Gyllenhaal, starring Talitha Bateman, Jesse Collins, and Alfre Woodard. Bateman takes a bus trip across the country with a handful of pictures to find out about her and her mentally handicapped mother's past. One of those movies.
Yeah. I mean, those self-discovery. Well, there's a couple of those this summer or whatever season.
This fall,
is.
Winter?
Global warming doesn't matter anymore. Yeah.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
This
yeah,
October.
There's a few of these, like, oh, road trip / finding myself movies.
Yeah, that'll come up again later. And that takes us to October 13th, and it is Martin Campbell's The Foreigner, starring Jackie Chan, Pierce Brosnan, and Charlie Murphy. The lady Charlie Murphy, not Eddie Murphy's brother, Charlie Murphy, obviously. Some terrorists kill Jackie Chan's daughter, and that turns out to be a bad thing for the terrorists as Chan hunts them down while dealing with the slimy British government guy, Pierce Brosnan.
He does have a special set of skills. But the fact that Jackie Chan is still headlining movies, the dude is getting to Tom Cruise age at this point.
And they both still do their own stunts.
Yeah.
So take that, young guys that don't do your own stunts. Quit being a pussy. The worst thing that could happen is you end up dead. That is exactly what happens to our lead character in Christopher B. Landon's Happy Death Day, starring Jessica Roth, Israel Broussard, and Ruby Modine. Yet Groundhog Day meets Edge of Tomorrow in a good old-fashioned slasher as Roth lives and dies through her birthday over and over while trying to figure out the identity of her masked killer. Landon directed 2015's Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
Scout's Guide was surprisingly really good.
Pretty fun.
It was marketed as this dumb, stupid comedy. It was better than that. It was actually really enjoyable. This does not look as fun, but it still looks great. Like, it looks...
It's not like the comedy, you know?
Yeah, it's not a comedy like Scout's Guide was. Like, it looks really good. We don't always get horror movies in October anymore, especially like smaller ones.
Theater horror movies.
Mainstream, yeah.
Right, yeah.
We don't really get mainstream ones that aren't part of a franchise or like something about a stupid Polaroid camera that kills people or anything like that, like these dumb teen ones.
Like So Be It. That's the Polaroid camera that girl that girl's on the bus.
This one feels something different. It's the kind of movie I want to see in October.
And for the double whammy, it's going to be Friday the 13th in October. If you don't have a horror movie out that week, what are you doing? You did mention biopics and how there are quite a few of them. Here's one. It's Reginald Hutland's Marshall, starring Chadwick Boseman, Dan Stevens, and Sophia Bush. Boseman stars as Thurgood Marshall in the biopic profiling one of Marshall's early cases.
Boseman killed it in that Jackie Robinson movie. He played James Brown. He's playing Thurgood Marshall. Like, that dude is like your biopic king at this point. But he's one of those that I'll watch in anything. Message from the King was Netflix original this year. It's a revenge thriller. It was different than what we've seen from Chadwick Boseman so far because he does do so many historical biopics or Black Panther. Message from the King.
Which is not a biopic.
No. Well, kind of. Message from the King was like really good. Like, this dude is intense. I'll watch him in anything. I'm not a big biopic fan, but him and Dan Stevens are two of my favorite actors working right now. Like, they both have this just raw intensity to everything they do. So to see them together, I'm into it.
If you like biopics, you've got a couple to choose from. And if you like biopics and comic book movies, boy, have we got one for you. It is Angela Robinson's Professor Marston and the Wonder Women, starring Luke Evans, Rebecca Hall, and Bella Heathcote. So this year, we get Wonder Woman and, I guess, the Wonder Woman origin prequel story. Evans stars as William Marston, who created Wonder Woman using a couple women, wonderful women in his life, I would go so far as to say, his wife and a friend of theirs.
I mentioned earlier, I think there'll be an Oscar push for Wonder Woman. Like, there was last year for Deadpool. Logan, I didn't mention earlier. Like, I think there'll be a push for Logan, too.
There better be.
I feel like there'll be a push for Wonder Woman to kind of get some sort of Oscar recognition. I feel like this movie will kind of split the difference to where it's like, oh, we are giving Wonder Woman recognition, but this Wonder Woman movie.
Led by the man.
Yeah. I feel like this will be kind of the Academy throwing out, like, hey, we do care about Wonder Woman. See?
A fellow who starred in a comic book movie not too long ago and was the lead in a Academy Award nominated movie from last year is the star in our limited release movie Breathe, which is the directorial debut of Andy Serkis. Also stars Claire Foy and Hugh Bonneville. As I mentioned, it's the directorial debut from Serkis, who is going to follow that up with an adaptation of The Jungle Book next year. Not that we need another Jungle Book, but if Andy Serkis is going to direct
it. I feel like he's been working on that Jungle Book movie for years, though. Yeah. I feel like he was started that before Favreau did his.
Well, he is playing all the characters, in fairness.
I think he is. He is, isn't he?
I have no idea.
I think he is.
I don't know.
It's all motion capture.
It is motion capture, yeah.
But I feel like he started working on this before Favreau did his. I don't know if it's just post-production or what, but I feel like that was like his directorial debut.
Christian Bale, Cate Blanchett, C-Batch. Andy Serkis plays Baloo, so he does actually play at least one of the characters.
Yeah.
The Jungle Book was a book. We've got a biopic about another writer who wrote some books. Not comic books this time, but children's books. And that is Simon Curtis's Goodbye, Christopher Robin, starring Donald Gleason, Margot Robbie, and Kelly MacDonald. A biopic of A.A. Milne, who created Winnie the Pooh with the help of his son, the very appropriately named Christopher Robin.
Ed Milne was an asshole, and I don't think this movie shies away from that. I love Domhnall Gleeson. He's another one I'll watch in anything. Again, not big on biopics, but if you get the right actor in there, and this story's different enough that I think I'll check this one out too.
And to be honest, the story of our next one, I was kind of checked out until I read about it, and I was like, ooh, that plot sounds kind of interesting. And it is Norman Gregory Maguire's The Lucky Man, starring Jesse James and Mariana Paolo Vincente. A scam artist and his girlfriend hustle churches up and down Route 66 until his bogus healing powers become not so bogus.
One of those stories.
Yeah, they're a dime a dozen, I suppose. But hey, man, I watch them every time. Which brings us to October 20th, Dan Devlin's Geostorm, starring Gerard Butler, Jim Sturgis, and Abbey Cornish. And if that doesn't sound like a movie that stars Gerard Butler, I don't know what does. Climate-controlling satellites, controlled by the government, cause a huge storm, and it's up to King Leonidas to save us all.
Weather has fallen.
Exactly.
That's all it is. And the thing is, this is one of those.
And where, it's not global warming.
No, it's wet.
It's satellites.
It's
from
satellites
science.
That control the weather.
Right.
The plot of this is insane. It's one of those, you watch the trailer and it's like, just pick a plot and go with it. When the network of satellites designed to control the global climate start to attack Earth, it's a race against the clock to uncover the real threat before a worldwide geostorm wipes out everything and everyone. So it's Gerard Butler. There's a government conspiracy. I think there's murder. His brother's involved somehow. There's a lot going on in this movie, and it looks ridiculous. But not like...
But not machete ridiculous.
Yeah, not the fun ridiculous. The Gerard Butler movie of 2017 ridiculous.
You would have to be brave to sit through that one. Or Joseph Kosinski's Only the Brave, starring Taylor Kitsch, Josh Brolin, and Jennifer Connelly. I guess a biopic of a bunch of people. A bunch of brave firefighters who battled the 2013 wildfires in Arizona.
You lose me at Taylor Kitsch, but then you get me back at Josh Brolin and Jennifer Connelly, and I think, is this lone survivor Taylor Kitsch?
I'm going to go with yes.
I think it'd have to be.
Yeah. I think he's past previous incarnations of Taylor Kitsch. I'm willing to give him that. I think we had to. I think we said at Lone Survivor, like, I'll watch anything Taylor Kitsch does
now. I didn't
go
that far. He's like, I like this Taylor Kitsch.
We'll have to check the tape on that one. Also in wide release that week is Michael Carney's Same Kind of Different as Me, starring Greg Kinnear, Renee Zellweger, and Digimon Hansu. Kinnear is forced to befriend a drifter because his wife had a dream about the three of them, and it wasn't a sexy one.
I feel like we see less of Kinnear lately.
Do you think there's any particular reason behind that?
He's not that great. I do like Hansu, though.
As much as you may like Hansu, I think our next movie stars a guy you like just a little bit more, and that is Michael Fassbender, opposite a woman who you really don't like. That's Rebecca Ferguson, and a woman who stars in a bunch of movies that I like a lot.
I do love Charlotte Gainsbourg. I love her. She outweighs Rebecca Hall. She's fantastic.
Or even Rebecca Ferguson. She outweighs both of Rebecca.
Oh, yeah, which one do I like? Do I like Rebecca? I thought it was Rebecca Hall. I like Rebecca Ferguson.
You don't like Rebecca Hall, but you don't really like Rebecca Ferguson either.
What have I seen Rebecca Ferguson in? She's just in that Mission Impossible movie, isn't it?
I think so.
Do I have an opinion on Rebecca Ferguson?
Well, you might after this one. Thomas Alfredson's The Snowman, based off one of the Harry Hole books in Joe Nesbo's series. And I wish that was a joke. I just feel like that's not a good translation to English, Harry Hole. It is the second best Scandinavian creepy crime series that you'll become very familiar with.
This looks great. I like stuff like this. I love Fassbender. It looks great. It's one of those commercials that on one of the shows I watch on Amazon or Hulu or something that plays the same commercial over and over again. The one that's playing over and over again is for the snowman. And I watch it every time and it's like, oh, that looks so good. Like, I'm excited. I know I love Charlotte Gainsbourg, love Michael Fassbender.
Did you enjoy The Girl on the Train or Life?
I didn't see either of those yet.
Okay,
yeah,
those are Rebecca Ferguson.
She's the girl from Mission Impossible.
She is also the girl from Mission Impossible.
Okay, yeah, I'm indifferent to her. I like her.
Fair enough.
It's Rebecca Hall that
I know
like.
It is Rebecca Hall that you do not like. And this is going to shock the shit out of you. After I read the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, that series, I was like, holy shit, these are kind of cool stories. What else is close to that? And I wandered across this Joe Nesbo series. There's like The Bat, The Red Beast. Like, they all have kind of cool names, and they're pretty cool stories. So I'm a fan that this one is getting an adaptation. I'm a super big fan that it's The Snowman, because I didn't read that one, and now I don't have to. I also don't have to see Tyler Perry's Boo 2, Madea's Halloween, directed, of course, by Tyler Perry. Madea's second Halloween extravaganza, because the universe is unfair and that we only got to see Ernest Scared Stupid one time.
I don't have words for these anymore. Like, I feel like the first few Madea movies, I was willing to give them a chance because I felt like there was maybe something special to them. But then the one with Larry the Cable Guy and then these Halloween movies, it's like they just seem like they're just jokes upon themselves now.
Well, the joke's going to be on us because he's going to make a ton of money with that movie. in limited release that week is Kurt Vogler's The Bachelors, starring The Bachelors, J.K. Simmons and Josh Wiggins, also Julie Delpy. It's a dramedy about a father and son moving on after the death of the matriarch of that family from the guy that brought us Rock Dog.
I like J.K. Simmons. He's in a few things this fall.
I like Julie Delpy,
too. I love Julie Delpy. You don't see Julie Delpy ever. Hardly.
She's in those Ethan Hawke movies that I don't watch.
Yeah, she's in those, but...
She's always telling me what time it is.
She did that Chris Rock movie that was good.
Yeah.
2 Days in New York or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also in limited release that week is Wonderstruck, starring Oakes Figley, Julianne Moore, Michelle Williams, directed by Todd Haynes. This is one of those ones where we have a lot of movies about people like leaving to go on self-discovery journeys. This movie has not one but two of those stories, taking place 50 years apart as a couple runaways try to find their idol and father, respectively.
We're seeing a lot of Julianne Moore this year, and I like it.
Yeah, a big fan of Michelle Williams, too. I have no idea who Oakes Figley is.
Badass name, though.
Yeah.
That's like the Imogen Poots of dude names.
Yes, and he better be good because he's going to get his pants acted off by Julianne Moore and Michelle Williams because they are fantastic. I'm not sure that there's going to be a lot of pants being acted off in October 27th, Jigsaw, directed by Michael and Pierce Spearing, the Spearing Brothers. Yep. Starring Mandela Van Peebles, Laura Vandervoort, and Brittany Allen. 10 years after the events of the last Saw, it seems like there may be a new Jigsaw killer on the loose because money never dies.
The last Saw was this called Saw the Final Chapter, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
And everybody knew, like, that's not the final chapter.
Technically, this isn't called Saw. Yeah, so. Right?
But it's Halloween weekend. It's going to make a ton of money.
How many of the Saw movies have you seen?
Saw.
For whatever reason, I've watched all of them.
I saw the first one.
I don't know which is which.
Thing is, I like the first one.
Yeah.
Never saw any others. Don't have any interest.
There's a Wahlberg in one. There's one of the girls from Seventh Heaven, I think.
All I know is Jessica Biel.
Yeah, it wasn't her. It was the younger sister.
Because Laura Vandervoort's Smallville, isn't she?
I don't know. I didn't watch that.
I didn't either.
And is Mandela Van Peebles Maria Van Peebles' daughter?
I'm going to assume.
Too. I'd be more likely to see it if it was her. It'd be pretty badass if
like
it was.
I like Van Peebles. Oh, God. Damn.
God.
I hate this show.
A movie that like I'm on a DNA level predisposed to like, but I'm probably going to hate because everybody else seems to hate it already, is George Clooney's Suburbicon, starring Matt Damon, the aforementioned and oft-mentioned Julianne Moore, and Oscar Isaac. Hey, he's going to be in a movie later this year. Clooney directs a Coen Brothers script. That's all I needed to hear. Josh Brolin apparently got cut out of the movie.
And if you watch the trailer, it looks like a movie directed by Clooney, written by the Coen Brothers.
Exactly.
It looks good. I'm not a Coen Brothers fanboy like you are. Like
fanboys
you
maybe
used
strong,
to be.
But
I think it's dwindled. I think you used to be. I feel like you've dwindled a little bit. But I don't love the Coen Brothers as a rule. I like Clooney as a director, and I like quirky Matt Damon. And this gives quirky Matt Damon, directed by Clooney, written by the Coens. It's like a trifecta of, this will probably be all right.
Yeah, apparently not, though. Also out that week is Jason Hall's Thank You for Your Service, starring Miles Teller, Haley Bennett, and Amy Schumer. The story of three Iraqi war veterans as they attempt to reintegrate into society.
It's the Hurt Locker with Miles Teller.
It's like three Hurt Lockers with Miles Teller. But I like Miles Teller. I want to see him get stuff because I actually think he's a pretty good actor when given material.
He's one of those that, like, he's a good actor. There's something I just don't like.
I don't know. Like his face.
I think that might be it. I don't know what it is. Like, I just don't like him.
Fair enough.
Like, he's good. I've seen him in stuff be really, really good, but I just...
I don't think is a sentiment that can be used to describe a Yorgos Lanthimos movie. You either love it or you hate it. And he will have a limited release that week. The Killing of the Sacred Deer, starring Colin Farrell and Nicole Kidman. It won the Best Screenplay Award at Cannes this year.
Should have won an Oscar last year.
Should have won an Oscar last year.
Well, not this one, but The Lobster.
Right, The Lobster. And after 2015's The Lobster, I will watch anything written by Lanthimos and Philippou.
This is a different movie than The Lobster. This looks dark. This looks...
Lobster was kind of dark, too.
Yeah, but this looks like... This looks amazing. There's a trailer for this that looks phenomenal. It's like a psychological thriller. I love Farrell, and obviously he works well with him. The Lobster was great. Bringing Nicole Kidman in, I'm so stoked on this movie.
The movie I'm slightly less stoked on is Novitate, directed by Margaret Betts, starring Margaret Qualley and Melissa Leo. It is the story of a young nun who makes her way through nun college, I guess.
I like Margaret Qualley. It's Andie MacDowell's daughter. She's in Death Note. I like that. She's in another Netflix thing coming out this year.
I'll probably watch both of those, but I'm not sure I'll see this one.
Yeah.
And rounding out that week is Ruben Östlund's The Square, starring Chase Bang, Elizabeth Moss, and Dominic West. It is the Palme d'Or winner from Cannes this year and Sweden's nominee for Best Foreign Film at the upcoming 2018 Academy Awards.
It'll probably be better than The Circle.
It'll certainly be better than The Circle.
Elizabeth Moss, she's another one of those. I'll watch her in anything. Everything she does is awesome right now. She's making like some really cool choices, and she's just really good in everything.
And I'll always love Dominic West. November 3rd, a movie that I don't think Dave or I are going to love, but he's going to see. And it is A Bad Mom's Christmas, starring Kristen Bell, Mila Kunis, Catherine Hahn, Susan Sarandon, blah, 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 blah. Directed by John Lucas and Scott Moore. The moms are back, and so are their moms. And it's Christmas because they sequeled it up.
Yeah, they sequeled it. You have Susan Sarandon, Christine Baranski, Cheryl Hines as the moms of the moms. Because how do you double up a bad moms movie? You just bring in their moms, which is a theme we might see.
I was
going to
say it's
on.
A formula we're going to be intimately familiar with by the time this fall is over. While Dave is watching A Bad Mom's Christmas, I will be across the hall watching Takiya Waititi's Thor Ragnarok, starring Thor, Tom Hiddleston, Mark Ruffalo, Cate Blanchett, and Tessa Thompson. Thor and the Hulk team up to beat each other up and then save Asgard.
I'll admit, I have not seen the first Thor in the theaters.
No, right.
The first two Thor movies.
Seen them both.
I've seen them. But
saw The Dark World in a theater with about two other people. It was a dark theater.
And I generally make an event of Marvel movies. Have not seen either Thor in the theater.
But
that will change.
Yes.
Yeah.
This movie's rad. I love Waititi.
I love the choice.
Hunt for the Wilder People and What We Do in the Shadows are really out there. And I think this is a great example of Marvel taking a guy, which I haven't been this excited about a Marvel director since Gunn was hired for First Guardians.
I feel like Thor is finally finding its footing, but I think most of these are topping out at threes.
Yeah.
So I feel like Thor 3 is going to be like, oh, this is what we want from Thor movies. And then it's the last Thor movie.
But then we'll get the Netflix series with Thor and Daryl.
Oh,
and
I hope.
Waititi will do that, and it'll be all good. In limited release that week is Allison Eastwood's Battle Creek, starring Bill Skarsgård, Paula Malcolmson, and Claire Vanderboom. Sadly, it's not a big screen adaptation of the short-lived Josh Duhamel Dean Winter television show. Instead, it's about some kid with some skin disease and his overprotective mother and a lady stranger.
I'm interested to see where Bill Skarsgård goes, because I feel like it's going to be a decent hit.
I think that's a safe assumption.
So this is him not dressed as a cloud. Paula Malcolmson, I think, is terribly underrated. She is amazing. Like, everything she's in, she is just, I talk about intensity a lot with actors, and like, she brings it. Like, she's really, really intense. And her in this kind of role, I think she's gonna crush it. I mean, that Skarsgård name's a good name to have.
Intensity is a word I would use to describe the films of our next director, Takeshi Meek. And he's got Blade of the Immortal coming out in limited release that week with some people whose names I cannot pronounce. So I'm going to focus less on the actors and more on the director. Takeshi Meek directing a samurai revenge movie. People will bleed in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Takeshi Miike could do a movie about going home to visit your dead mom, and there's going to be all sorts of blood.
Because she would get her head cut off as soon as
she
got the door.
She would be dead because this will be cool.
Also out that week is another biopic. It's Rob Reiner's LBJ, starring Woody Harrelson, who plays LBJ, and that's Lyndon Baines Johnson, not LeBron James. Unfortunately, that biopic is still probably about 3 years off.
My interest just disappeared. Yeah, right. I really didn't investigate this that much.
I was like, well, wait a minute, who would be playing LeBron? Woody
Harrelson.
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Woody Harrelson
C. Thomas
is really
Howell.
Good.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. Or Bill Pullman.
Yeah, he can transform himself.
He certainly can. Obviously, a biopic where Harrelson plays a guy who's a president, not nearly as important as the savior of Cleveland basketball. Also at that week is The Man Who Invented Christmas, starring Dan Stevens, Jonathan Pryce, and Christopher Plummer, directed by Bharat Narulli. Stevens plays Charles Dickens, who you may have heard of as the guy that invented Jesus. And he also decided to self-publish a book about Christmas after failing with a string of previous books not about Christmas.
Dan Stevens, Jonathan Pryce, Christopher Plummer, that has me. I don't care about Dickens. I don't care about The Christmas Carol.
Oh, is that the book?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I've never read that book, but I've seen many adaptations.
I've seen Scrooged.
Right, of Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol, or whatever. Yeah. Speaking of biopics, I don't know if Roman J. Israel Esquire is a real dude, but if he is, this would be a biopic starring Denzel Washington and Colin Farrell, directed by Dan Gilroy, where Denzel plays a lawyer whose name, I assume, is Roman J. Israel Esquire.
Denzel's going to be Denzel. He's got Colin Farrell there. He'll get an Oscar nomination.
Probably.
If Denzel puts a movie out between September and December, he gets an Oscar nomination.
And in fairness, Gilroy did Nightcrawler, and Gyllenhaal should have got a nomination for that. And since he wasn't, his nomination will go to Denzel like he needs another one. We mentioned that formula about how do you sequel up a movie about bad moms? You add in the mom's moms. Well, here's that sequel coming around again. For November 10th, Daddy's Home 2, directed by Sean Anders, starring the daddies, Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, and their daddies, Mel Gibson and John Lithgow. Will Ferrell, Marky Mark's peaceful existence of co-daddying kids is thrown for a loop when their daddies come home for some co-daddying daddying.
Also Christmas.
Yes, also Christmas as well. So add in Christmas there, add in some grandparents. We talked a lot about books on this show, which probably is why I'm less interested. Here's a book, a movie based on a book, an Agatha Christie book, which I have not read. I just know it exists. It is Murder on the Orient Express, starring Kenneth Branagh, Penelope Cruz, Willem Dafoe, Judi Dench, Johnny Depp, Josh Gad, Leslie Odom, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Daisy Ridley. Can you tell which of those people I don't particularly care for? It's like one of those lame murder mystery dinners, but on a train where the murder is real. And you got to figure out who did it, and there's a ton of people, and any of them could have done it.
And they could kill again.
They could.
Yeah. Because so Kenneth Branagh's got to direct, star, and solve the murder.
Which should be easy if he's read the book.
He's obviously read the script. He directed it.
Right, yeah. Unless he just saved it. Like, I fill out my NCAA tournament bracket. He was directing it page at a time, because that's how movies are made. In limited release that week is Greta Gerwig's Lady Bird, starring Saoirse Ronan, Aunt Jackie, Tracy Letts, and Danielle McDonald. Greta Gerwig directs her own script about Saoirse Ronan living in Northern California for a year.
I love Greta Gerwig.
Sure.
As a writer, she's phenomenal.
Saoirse Ronan's fantastic.
This is basically a biopic about Greta Gerwig, essentially.
Not Lady Bird Johnson.
No. I thought it was.
The wife of...
Kennedy's
LBJ.
Yeah.
Yes. Not LeBron.
Saoirse Ronan's going to get an Oscar nom for this.
Probably. I mean, she's good enough to get one.
Usually our fall previews, I throw out a bunch of
Did
Oscar
noms. Did she get one for Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she'll get another one.
She'll get it for this. Yeah. It looks great. I wouldn't be shocked to see Gerwig get some love, even if it's just for screenplay. It looks really good. And I like when you take an older actor that hasn't really been around, like Laurie Metcalf, and bring him back into like a major player. And Danielle McDonald, she's probably a smaller part in this, but I really want to see Patty Cakes. So I wanted to highlight her. That's a good year for her.
It's always a good year when we get a Martin McDonagh movie, and we do. This year, it's Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, starring Frances McDormand, John Hawkes, Woody Harrelson, Sam Rockwell, Abby Cornish, and Tyrion. Frances McDormand gets upset with the lack of progress in her daughter's murder investigation and wages war with local law enforcement. I don't care what the plot is. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's a McDonough. Either McDonough brother, yes. I'm in. This cast.
Martin McDonough with Sam Rockwell, I'm in.
Yeah,
that's all I need.
This is the second time we've heard Abby Cornish's name. Mm-hmm. I love her. Like, I watched some drug movie with her and Heath Ledger, and I thought, that girl's going to be the biggest star in the world. Candy.
Yeah.
That was it. It's so good. But she hasn't, I mean, she's done a lot. She's been around, but I don't think she's like established herself as she's good in everything she's in. But McDonough's dialogue, McDonough's stories, Frances McDormand playing a McDonough character, I am so on board for this. There was a teaser trailer a few months back that looks great. I kind of don't want to see any more trailers because I know I'm going to see it. So I cannot wait for this movie.
A movie that seemingly we've been waiting the entire time this podcast has been around finally comes out November 17th, and that is, if you cannot tell by the tone of my voice, it is Zack Snyder's Justice League, starring Gal Gadot.
And other dudes.
And that's basically it. Hey, The Flash is around this time, and it's that kid from Perks of Being a Wallflower and Khal Drogo. Maybe that's what the other DC movies have been missing.
Love Batman. I love The Flash. Like, I grew up, I read a lot of comics growing up. I think I was more Marvel overall, but like Batman and the Flash were two of my favorites. In the same way it was last year, we're like, oh, you have a Batman movie coming out, and I didn't go see it in theaters because I didn't think I'd like it, and I ended up hating it. You have a Justice League movie coming out, and I don't care. Like, these movies have been so bad, minus Wonder Woman. I just want get rid of everybody else. Get her out of this shit show. Let her do her trilogy.
This is like Kevin Bacon also being in RIPD.
Yeah, yeah. Get her out of here. Let her do her Wonder Woman movies. Keep giving us those. Don't waste her time doing these Justice League garbage. The time she spent on Justice League and Batman vs. Superman, we could have Wonder Woman 2 already. If she didn't waste her stupid time in here. Yeah, I'm not really excited for it. For a Justice League movie. This is, it's not a Batman movie. It's not a Flash. This is the Justice League. This is the biggest DC heroes together in one movie. And I'm not going to see it in theaters.
I mean, we went on and on and on about the Avengers. We're still talking about the Avengers 5 years later on this show. And I mean, this is the equivalent.
Eh.
In theory.
Yeah. Years of the solo DC movies that have been spent building this universe to where you care about
brick
Cyborg and you care about Flash because you've grown to like them already. They finally all come together and we see how they make it work. Or you just throw them all together and we don't care about any of these.
We don't know that we don't care about them yet.
I don't. I want them to scrap it all. Let this movie come out. That's fine.
They've already got
Aquaman's coming out.
And napkins and stuff.
Aquaman's filming. Let that finish, but just do its own thing. Focus on Wonder Woman. Let Whedon make his Batgirl movie separate of everything else. Recast. Let Matt Reeves make a Batman trilogy. If you can pull off Flashpoint, okay, but Flashpoint is basically, hey, we're going to reboot this entire universe that we haven't introduced.
That wasn't any good anyway. This was our plan all along.
And not to mention the two Joker movies, and I just they're a mess. They're a mess.
You know, I would totally watch a Flash movie starring Zachary Levi.
I wanted him as Captain America, to be honest.
Yeah, he'd have been all right.
He's one that I thought, like, he's good. Or even Ryan McPartland, who was on Chuck with him.
Right.
Captain Awesome.
Yes, Captain Awesome.
I thought you transitioned from Captain Awesome to Captain America.
He would have got a, I guess that's a promotion.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of seeing Zachary Levi in a superhero movie, we get him in The Star, right alongside a ton of people. Keegan-Michael Key, Oprah, Tracy Morgan, Kristen Chenoweth, Steven Yeun, Gina Rodriguez, Tyler Perry, Anthony Anderson, Kelly Clarkson, Chris Christopherson, an animated tale about some animals that were really the stars of the birth of the baby Jesus story.
This isn't Pixar. It's not. I think this might be Blue Sky. It looks terrible. Anytime I see an animated movie with a cast like this, I just assume it's going to be bad. Because remember that epic?
Yeah.
That had
with Beyonce?
Yeah. The cast, like the trailer was just naming the cast because it's like, who voiced Wally? Pixar and the Disney ones, like, don't.
Who voiced Woody?
Tim Allen or the other one? Tim Allen or Tom
Buzz Lightyear. Yeah, I was talking about.
They don't really hype up. I mean, we know who else it is now, but it wasn't hyped as Idina Menzel and Kristen Bell and Josh Gad. And Brave wasn't a Kelly MacDonald movie. Like, with animated movies, I don't think the cast matters. Like, I really don't, because you just make a good animated movie. And when you're throwing all this cast, I feel like you don't have anything and you're going to rely on it.
Bet you probably have to see it anyway because you get a bunch of kids.
Oh, they know. They know we don't see bullshit like this. This is what I don't get. Yeah, Bad Moms Christmas, early November.
Yeah.
Daddy's Home 2, which is Christmas, November 10th. The Star Christmas movie,
yeah.
Mid-November. Why are they so early? Bad Moms Christmas will be out of theaters by Christmas.
From what I understand, Christmas is in December.
Yeah, late December.
Well,
Night Before did that too. Didn't Night Before come out early November?
I think so.
You release them so early where people they're not ready to accept Christmas yet.
Oh, I think people are ready to accept Christmas in November.
I don't think so.
The day after Halloween, everybody's all about that Christmas jam.
But I don't think about Christmas movies and stuff.
No, you don't. But that's because you don't really like Christmas.
I don't mind Christmas.
I just hate Christmas movies.
Die Hard and Gremlins.
I don't believe that Wonder has any Christmas overtones, though I haven't seen it yet. It is Stephen Chbosky's movie starring Jacob Tremblay, Owen Wilson, Julia Roberts, and David Diggs. A boy with a facial disfiguration attends public school for the first time, and Jacob Tremblay did not get an Oscar for Room. Does it come here?
No.
No.
This is one of those where it's like, oh, this is an Oscar
it
movie.
Ought to,
like,
yeah.
This is Julia Roberts. This is Owen Wilson. This right. is a true story based on a book. Like, this
it's
is
The Mask.
It's not. It's not. It's going to be bad. Nobody's going to care. It's going to come and go, and nobody gives two craps about it. But the way a studio thinks is like, oh, this is an Oscar movie. It's a shoe-in. No, it's not.
A limited release that week. I like Bryan Cranston. I like Steve Carell. I like Larry Fishburne.
I do not like Richard Linklater.
Jury's mostly in on him, and not so much. Last Flag Flying is his movie this week. Three men who served together in Vietnam reunite to bury one of their sons who was killed in the Iraq War.
Sounds like a Linklater movie. The cast is great, though. And
yes.
I love those guys, but it seems like a Linklater movie, so I don't really think it interests me.
Also in limited release that week is Sweet Virginia, directed by Jamie M. Dagg, starring John Barenthal, Christopher Abbott, Imogen Poots, and Rosemary DeWitt. A former rodeo star befriends a man whose violent act has turned his small town upside down.
This is a Dave movie. Like, this is a...
Because it has Imogen Poots.
I do like Imogen Poots. I like John Barenthal. John Barenthal is a rundown rodeo star who runs a hotel, befriends a dude that he is unaware that he has committed a triple murder in his town that kind of has everybody going crazy. That's the kind of setup to a movie that I'm probably going to like. I like Barenthal a lot. I like seeing his just star grow, and this just feels like it's going to be like, oh, this is a Barenthal movie, which we don't really get many of those, so I'm into it.
November 22nd is a Bruce Willis movie. It is Eli Roth's Death Wish, starring Elizabeth Shue, Vincent D'Onofrio, and Dean Norris. Bruce Willis goes through the motions for Eli Roth in a remake written by Joe Carnahan.
It's not that I'm anti-Death Wish remake. I think Death Wish is a great... Like,
you're just anti-Eli Roth.
I'm anti-Eli Roth, and I'm anti-Bruce Willis just showing up. You put an action star in here, it doesn't feel like a Death Wish movie. The whole point is that it is just this common dude who starts hunting people down because of his
But fame. Isn't the most common man of them all John McClane?
Exactly. Even somebody like Oscar Isaac. Put like Oscar Isaac in this kind of movie into
or
it.
Justin Long.
I would be into Justin Long. I would watch a Justin Long Death Wish movie. I would watch, not directed by Eli Roth, but it seems like a studio's dream, and that's generally doesn't translate well because the studios aren't moviegoers, where you have Joe Carnahan, a gritty writer that writes violent, gritty stuff. Eli Roth, who is violent just for the sake of being violent. There's no substance to his violence. And then you have Bruce Willis, who's an action star. Was. He's not really anymore. But this looks like, oh, that's a hit. Like, if you just look at, like, oh, Joe Carnahan's written these movies. Eli Roth directed these movies. Bruce Willis has been in these movies. On paper, if you're taking out any human aspect and just looking at numbers and history, this seems like something that I could see why a studio greenlit this. But I don't know that there's any interest.
We talked about not knowing the voices behind WALL-E or behind some of the other Pixar movies. Disney and Pixar team up once again for Lee Unkrich and Adrian Molina's Coco, starring Anthony Gonzalez, Gael Garcia Bernal, Benjamin Bratt, Edward James Olmos, and Cheech. We're following a young aspiring musician as he investigates the land of the dead. This movie looks cool. I mean, it looks cool.
So did Book of Life. It looked cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Also in wide release that week is Jessica Chastain's Molly's Game, also starring Idris Elba, Kevin Costner, Michael Cera, and Chris O'Dowd, directed by Aaron Sorkin. Sorkin steps behind the camera for the first time to direct his adaptation of Molly Bloom's book about running an exclusive high-stakes poker game for nearly a decade. So like The House, but not funny.
It'll get an adapted...
Because Aaron Sorkin
It'll
does.
Get an adapted screenplay nom, for sure. I like Jessica Chastain. I think she's a great fit here, and that cast is awesome. This is one of those that I wouldn't be shocked if it gets a handful. Like, if she gets a nom and if it sneaks...
Michael Cera gets one.
Yeah. If it sneaks its way into one of those bottom half Best Picture ones.
Also that week is Ron Shelton's Via Capri, starring Morgan Freeman, Tommy Lee Jones, Rene Russo, Glenn Headey, and Joey Pants. You got a retired FBI agent in Jones and a retired mob lawyer in Freeman. Have to put down the golf clubs and fight off the mob as they're getting attacked on a golf course.
I don't know of any director that has the really good movie and garbage range that Ron Shelton does. His good movies are great. Everything else, garbage. I feel like this is in that
closer to the
garbage range, yeah.
In limited release that week is Joe Wright's Darkest Hour, starring Gary Oldman and Lily James, Ben Mendelsohn, and Stephen Delane. Oldman transforms into Winston Churchill and tries to negotiate peace with the Nazis. Spoiler alert!
They're still here.
It didn't work. They were marching in Virginia.
It's another one of those. I don't like biopics, but Gary Oldman is unrecognizable like he is in every movie. Lily James, Ben Mendelsohn plays the king, which, okay. And Joe Wright. Joe Wright's just one of those directors where, like, I'll pretty much watch what he does because it'll be visually cool, at least.
And that's one of the ones from Telluride where they're basically already saying that Gary Oldman's won for best actor, so I don't know. I guess just give it to him now. Put his name on it. In limited release on Black Friday is Lucha Guadagnino's Call Me By Your Name, starring Armie Hammer and Timothy Chalamet. Two dudes fall in love in the summer of 1983 in Italy.
Armie Hammer, I think, is a good example of what I was trying to come up with.
And of the white guy that they just kind of forced down your throat?
Yeah.
Which is also the plot of this movie. Hey-o!
God damn it. I don't want to go on anymore. The thing is, I think he's good in doses. I think he's just got a terrible agent. Like, I think he could be good.
This might be good. It's just, it's got his name on it, and there's a stink to it at this point. Also in limited release on that Friday is Alfonso Gomez Rejon's The Current War, starring Benedict Cumberbatch, Nicholas Hoult, Michael Shannon, Catherine Waterston, and Tom Holland. An early contender for the Cleverest Title Oscar, which will just be given out this year, and it'll go to this movie. It follows the competition between Thomas Edison and George Westinghouse as they invent electricity.
And Nicholas Hoult's Nikola Tesla. Tesla, Westinghouse, and Edison all there. Again, that cast.
Like, yeah, that's Mike Shannon, Catherine Waterston,
Holt, Seabatch, Cumberbatch, Spider-Man.
Yep, we just named them all again.
Yeah, yep, that's what we do. The thing is, it's these kind of movies I don't care about, but actors I like are doing these kind of movies, so I like have to watch them.
Yeah, I think it'll be cool. That's, you can learn something.
Next thing you know, Tom Hardy's going to play Reagan, and I'm going to have to watch some kind of Reagan biopic. I'm going to be pissed.
A good solid month after anyone would care, Lars Klevberg brings us Polaroid, starring some teenagers. A teenage girl discovers a Polaroid camera that murders anyone who has their picture taken with it. It's like a shitty adaptation of that Goosebumps book, Say Cheese and Die.
Yeah.
Which I read.
It's like,
suck it.
The Ring with a Polaroid camera in December. Because that makes perfect sense.
Well, I mean, hey.
This is a January 6th movie.
The like, Christmas movies are all in November, so why aren't the
like,
horror
move
movies
this,
in December?
Release this in January 6th and keep order in the world. Why is it December 1st?
Could very well end up being a disaster. Limited release that week is James Franco's The Disaster Artist, starring Franco, Seth Rogen, the other Franco, Zac Efron, Alison Brie, Zoe Deutsch, Lizzie Kaplan, and Bryan Cranston. Franco and crew try and make a great movie about the making of what could very well be the worst movie ever, The Room.
I think this is tons of Oscars here. Nominations, at least.
Oh, just to get Tommy Wiseau at the Academy Awards?
I think it gets an adapted screenplay. I think Franco sneaks in there. Like, I think it's in there for... I think it's going to be great. Like, that's not just like, oh, the Oscar's going to throw love at it. Like, I think it's going to be great. Like, I legit think there's so much talent behind this movie, and it's such an interesting story. I think this is going to be one of those that just is a hit all around.
I want to see it win Best Picture just because I want to see the Franco, Seth Rogen, and Zac Efron on stage, like, giving the last speech of the night.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I honestly believe this movie is going to just be a hit. It's going to get a ton of Oscar noms. I feel, and Golden Globes.
And those two. You mentioned Pod Fave, Makeup Monroe had a movie earlier in this year. She's also got one coming out in December. It is The Tribes of Palos Verdes, directed by Brendan and Emily Malloy, starring the aforementioned Makeup Monroe, Alicia Silverstone, Jennifer Garner, Jolie Fisher. When life gives you lemons, you surf.
It seems like Blue Crush starring Makeup Monroe, which...
Fine.
I just made my dream movie. Like, so I love her. I'd watch
Sorry, her. Sorry, Makeup Monroe and Tom Hardy.
I would watch her in anything. I watched that, what's that, Boca, some movie she's on with some foreign dude, and I don't think he's foreign. They're in a foreign land. She's good.
In limited release, December 8th, All the Money in the World, that is Ridley Scott's movie, starring Mark Wahlberg, Michelle Williams, Kevin Spacey, kidnapping in Italy in the 70s. Ridley Scott's had himself a year.
Yeah, I feel like he's got that string. What was it, Labor Day, and then the Consultant? What was
That was one that was awful.
The Fassbender one, yeah. Like
Cameron Diaz.
This feels like that kind of movie, where it's like, oh, it's Ridley Scott. It's doing a crime movie with this great cast. I should love this movie. And it's garbage. Even though Labor Day was Reitman, not Ridley Scott, but it feels like that kind of movie.
It's The Consultant. That was, yeah, that's the one, certainly. Also in December is Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water, starring Doug Jones, Sally Hawkins, Michael Shannon, Octavia Spencer. Doug Jones plays another fish-like creature for del Toro, and Sally Hawkins falls in love with him. It's supposed to be fantastic, and the movie that we're getting instead of him directing
Pacific Rim,
canceling the apocalypse again.
I'm okay with that because this looks amazing. It's supposedly his best work since Pan's Labyrinth, which was great. Sally Hawkins looks phenomenal in it. Michael Shannon. I think this is another one that I think Del Toro is going to get a nom for it. Like I think this movie is going to be great.
A movie that may get a nomination for Best Animated Picture because they have to nominate so many animated films. Is Ferdinand, starring John Cena, Kate McKinnon, David Diggs, and David Tennant, an animated movie about a bull played by the 15-time WWE champ trying to get home. His name's Ferdinand.
Lego Batman, Trolls, Coco, maybe DB3.
Are we listing the animated films that will get nominated?
Yeah, that will get nominated over that. And then a foreign one.
At least one foreign one. So that's probably it for December 15th.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's certainly not another
movie.
Nobody's
going to go against a John Cena bull movie.
No, the champ is there, and that means that certainly you would be out of your mind to release a movie on that date, and that is just what Rian Johnson's going to do. A little film called Star Wars The Last Jedi comes out, starring Rey, Finn, Luke, Leia, BB-8, Kylo Ren, Poe Dameron, Captain Phasma, Donald Gleason.
BB-92, the new one.
Black BB-8.
Borgs.
That has to be bad for whatever reason.
Well, he's black.
Yeah, I know.
Whoa, Star Wars.
Yes.
Reel it back. Is Lucas directing these again?
Pump the brakes, Disney. It's a Star Wars movie.
We'll do an episode on it. I'm sure the first episode of next year will be on this movie.
Holy shit! They killed Han Solo again. December 20th, following the heels of one great WWE star, we get another movie featuring a WWE superstar, and that is The Rock. Jack Black, Karen Gillan, Kevin Hart team up for Jumanji. Welcome to the Jungle, directed by Jake Kasdan. Four teens get sucked into a video game, not a board game. I think the hot girl ends up being Jack Black.
Which, that is tired by the end of the trailer. Like, that joke, the big, tall, athletic dude is Kevin Hart.
Right.
The hot, preppy, mean girl is Jack Black. And the small, nerdy kid is The Rock. And then the feminist, like, goth girl is Karen Gillan. All those jokes worn out by the end of the two-minute trailer. So, yeah, 90 minutes of that. Sign me up. I'm on board.
Board, get it? Because it's Jumanji, a board game. 2 days later is Lawrence Sayre's Bastards, starring Owen Wilson, Ed Helms, Glenn Close, J.K. Simmons. Two dudes who thought their father was dead seek to find him after learning he's not dead.
I feel like we haven't seen Owen Wilson in a while, and then we got a few Owen Wilson movies this year.
I saw Owen Wilson this year in Cars.
You saw Cars 3?
Yeah.
Why?
Because we are in Big Brothers, Big Sisters, the little brother likes Cars. So
Grayson likes Cars, but I don't let him watch them until they're playing on like TV.
He's not my actual kid, so like I'd be like,
you
got to
try harder.
Yeah,
he doesn't
exactly.
have to like you.
Right. Also out that week is Downsizing, Alexander Payne's movie starring another giant cast, including Matt Damon, Kristen Wiig, Bridget Lundy Payne, Christoph Waltz, Suds, Laura Dern, NPH, and James fucking Vanderbeek. It is the year of Vanderbeek, and we are just kind of living in his own world. To help save the planet, a community of people agree to be shrunken down to 4 inches tall. Downsized.
Yeah, I like this cast. Bridget Lundy Payne starred in that Atypical show on Netflix. Fell in love with her. Like, she's amazing on that show. Excited to see her with this cast. I like Alexander Payne. I like Matt Damon, that cast. It's a cool concept. I'm really excited to see what he does with it.
Coming down the home stretch here, a movie that I think like 4 years ago, if we'd have learned that there would be a third Pitch Perfect movie, we'd have been pretty psyched about. Now, I guess we're just mildly amused. Pitch Perfect 3 starring Anna Kendrick, Hailee Steinfeld, Ruby Rose, Rebel Wilson, Anna Camp, Brittany Snow, John Lithgow, because there needs to be a weird guy in one of these movies. Directed by
all
Trish
the other dudes are gone. There's no Divine. There's no other dude. Like,
but David Cross was your weird guy in the last one. And this, I guess, John Lithgow is going to, I don't know.
All the dudes are gone.
You know, that's what Hollywood does. They just give all the good roles to women. And our final movie, starring that woman that you hate, or we just recently found out that you don't necessarily care one way or the other about Rebecca Ferguson. By the end of this year, you may have an opinion on her as she stars in Michael Gracie's The Greatest Showman with Hugh Jackman, Zac Efron, Michelle Williams, and Zendaya. Jackman plays P.T. Barnum in a musical about P.T. Barnum.
It's an original musical. It's not an adaptation of a play.
Something
which,
else.
Which I think is interesting. I feel like this is the part Jackman was born to play.
He's in a musical.
Other than Logan. The contrast, like you're kind of bookending the year. You had Logan in what, March.
Yeah.
And then P.T. Barnum. Like,
and he'll probably get the Oscar for this.
For
and
this.
Be like, oh, we don't have to give it to him for Logan.
I think it's both.
I'll be with that. As long as he gets it for Logan, I don't care what
he
else
he should
happens.
Get it for Logan. And I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
He really should get it for Logan.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying like, oh, it's a really good performance in the comic book.
It's
a
good
really
performance
good performance.
In a movie.
And he plays two roles, and he rocks them both. He'll probably get it for this, too.
Yeah, he'll probably get it for this.
This will be the give it to Russell Crowe for the contender, but it'll be for Gladiator instead.
Right.
He'll get nominated for this, but we all know it's for Logan.
That's it for the end of the year. I think we kind of hit the ones that we are excited about.
You do January while we're here?
Yeah, we'll just finish up the rest of 2018 as well. There's a Star Wars movie that year.
Han Solo.
Yeah, it is the Ron Howard Han Solo movie. Oh, God. So I think we kind of hit the ones that we're excited about. You should be able to tell by the tone of our voices the ones that we were not as excited about. But certainly, I think there is some money to be made there. Star Wars is going to make $500 million.
I do feel like usually this episode...
And I don't even... That's not hyperbole.
Usually this episode is me saying like, oh, this is going to be... I said it for a few movies, but not a ton.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see Oscar noms from all over the year, more so than in the years past. Because I do think Get Out will get a good run. Logan, Wonder Woman. I think Big Sick will sneak in there. I have a feeling about that. Dunkirk. Like, I just feel like this is a year that you see stuff from all over.
That they don't all come out, you know, the last 3 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
And you're scrambling to try and see
we're
everything.
Not looking at a year where there's a Quentin Tarantino movie, Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
Right.
David O. Russell, like Steven Spielberg. They're not all having movies out right then. I feel like last year was kind of unpredictable. I think this year will be even way more.
As long as it's Hugh Jackman for Logan, the rest I can deal with the unpredictability.
Yeah, I'll take it. Gal Gadot.
Very predictably, next week we'll kick off the month of October, and that is Halloween month as far as we're concerned around movies on up. And we're going to be running down, is it our top 40?
40 or 50.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've decided. Or we have, and I keep forgetting.
Realistically, are you that interested in what our 47th favorite horror movie is, or are you more interested in like 2 and 3?
Honestly, I'm interested to see how the whole thing plays out.
Well, yeah, but I mean, 2 and 3 are going to be better. So, like,
oh, yeah.
You're going to get the good stuff. We're just going to be maybe less of the filler.
Honestly, no. Honestly, because I don't feel like there'll be filler. I think we both love horror movies so much that I think even later, obviously, we haven't done the list yet.
Right.
Like, we've talked about it for 3 months so that we had plenty of time to do it. We haven't done it. I'm listing movies.
We'll have it done by next week.
Yeah. Listed like 35 movies or so. And by the time I read that 35th one, it's like, I really love that movie. And I haven't put them in order, but like, of those movies, I really love those movies. So that's where it'll be different, where sometimes we'll do lists of five, and it's like, I really like my top three. 4 and 5, they're okay. Where this one, I feel like we're going to have 40 movies to where it's like, I love that movie.
We'll find out what our 40th favorite horror movie
is.
Or 50th, depending on where we decide to go. But you will know next week. But until then.
Keep it up.